Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, everyone. It's Amanda. Before we get into the show, I just wanted to share a little housekeeping. For the rest of August, we are going to only have one episode a week. Sam and I are traveling a bit and we're trying to figure out the right pacing for the podcast. So if you saw, I posted stories just trying to get some feedback from you all, whether you would prefer one longer episode or whether you like the shorter FAQ follow-up episodes. Right now, Sam and I are thinking come September, our plan is we'll do about half and half. So some weeks you'll have two episodes, some weeks you'll have one, depending on the topic, if we have a guest and you know, what's going on that week. So that's our thought. We would love to hear from you. You can always reach out to us on Instagram or email us at podcast@therapyforwomencenter.com. We're just trying to work really hard behind the scenes to get some advertisers from the show so that we can make sure that this is sustainable for us, because Sam and I want to do this for as long as we possibly can. We truly love doing the podcast so much and we love connecting with all of you. In the meantime, if you want to support us, you can share the podcast with a friend. You can subscribe to our Substack. We have bonus episodes once a month there. Sam does pep talks every week. And we also do like full breakdowns of the episodes, often with visual guides and additional works cited and things like that. So thank you so much. And we're going to get into the episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. Oh, you know, Sam, I was like, should we introduce ourselves by our first and last names? It seems like other podcasters do that.
Sure.
Do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. I also think we should have more banter in the beginning.
I know, but some people don't like it. So you guys can tell us if you like it or not. We just bantered for 43 minutes before we hit record because we had a lot to catch up on.
I was going to tell you to hit record because I felt like we were going to hit on some vulnerable things, but we also hit on some vulnerable things that I don't think we would want the public to know just yet. So sorry, guys. You'll get that information eventually.
Join our Substack where we share more vulnerable,
deep things.
We share vulnerably. We just share, or I share vulnerably from like, this happened to me 5 years ago. Not right now.
But yeah, that's Amanda White and I'm Sam Dalton. And we're going to start doing our first and last names.
So we got a lovely message from someone who wanted us to talk about loneliness and existential dread and like the fear of being alone. And we thought this was a great topic. And when I asked Sam if she wanted to do it, she said that on her recent trip to England, she had a lot of thoughts about this. So do you want to kick us off?
Yeah. So I think, first of all, my experience is unique because I am also single.
Yeah.
So I think that adds like an extra layer to it.
Definitely.
So yeah, when I was just in the UK, I spent the first part of the trip with my sister. And so that was fun. That was great. We get along. We travel really well together. And then we went our separate ways because she went to a work event that she was helping manage. And then I went up to Edinburgh, Scotland by myself. And what I realized was, you know, like there's a lot of people that kind of talk about like, oh, like traveling alone is like a big deal. And
I was going to say, I've never traveled alone to another country.
Yeah. I had never done it either. And so I just went to King's Cross Station in London and got on the train and pointed north. And I've always been a fairly independent person. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it like rocked my world that hard. But that was the first time I had traveled where I wasn't meeting up with anybody or I wasn't going for like a specific purpose. Like I literally had just decided I want to go see this place.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do it by myself. Oh, by the way, I've never been there. Mm-hmm. Never been there. Because I think if I just decided like, oh, I want to go to London for a week by myself, that wouldn't even cross my mind because I'm very familiar with the city.
Right.
Even
right.
if I went to like New York. But then even New York would be hard because I know a lot of people in New York. So I would like meet up with someone eventually.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
Well, that's good. You're much more social than me.
In case you haven't noticed, guys, it's giving like black cat golden retriever. That, and if you could have.
Am heard, I the black cat?
Yes.
I just like who I like, I and know. I want to spend as much time with like the 20 people in my life that I love.
I know. And I forced myself. I need to get better. I forced myself onto you, so it's fine. But yeah, so I was on the train and I was going up, and the countryside is just like absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
And there's the last half of the train ride between London and Edinburgh. You go right against like the North Sea,
mm-hmm.
and you see all these like little lovely like ancient towns. And when you're by yourself, you don't really have anybody to talk to. And in case you guys haven't noticed, I really like to talk. So I was talking to myself in my brain. And
okay, wait, can I just pause for a second? I still really – okay, we both love Sharon McMahon so much. Sharon said so.
Yes.
One day we'll die if she ever agrees to come on the podcast. Yeah. And Sam has a master plan to try to get her
I
on.
Do.
We'll see. Sam is much better at just like shooting for the stars where I'm like, let's shoot for, you know, down the street.
Mid is
And then
fine.
We'll see. But anyway, she said recently, because we're part of her book club, she mm-hmm. said on – she said recently that she doesn't have an internal monologue. And I know some people say they don't have an internal monologue, but I've never actually known anyone
– No.
– who has said that to me.
No.
I mean, I don't like ask clients that because that's a weird thing to ask. But until she said that, I kind of like didn't – I kind of was like, I don't know if – I hope this is not offending to anyone. I kind of was like, maybe someone is just like not mindful enough to notice it.
No, that's an interesting – that's a really interesting point.
But Sharon, I believe that she's definitely mindful enough. And she says she does not have an internal monologue.
Okay. To keep in with the loneliness
Sorry. Track
with the – No. This is like a really good point.
Okay.
Because I have an Oscar level – internal monologue going on
same
in my mind at all times, from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed, and then when I dream, that is just constant. So with that, I would be really interested to know that people, if they do have an internal monologue, do they feel less lonely than people that don't?
That's a good question,
because I was just entertaining myself.
I think about
everything. All the time. I was like
– I like never – I mean it's too much. I probably need to learn to calm down. But I just will like think about everything and read everything. Yeah. And I will just like read more books and I'll think about things and I'll – it's like, you know, it's probably too much. But I can entertain myself very well.
Same. I'm really good. I was a really good kid at parallel play.
Yes.
With that said,
yeah,
because I do have that internal monologue, and so I was just like thinking of everything, like, oh my god, this is amazing, I love this so much. Blah, blah, blah. And then I was thinking about the podcast, which is what we were talking about before we got on.
Yeah.
So while I was there, it was a really interesting experience because I wasn't necessarily alone, because you're surrounded by people, and I didn't feel lonely. I was really enjoying it, and I was really leaning into the experience of being present, and I was trying really hard to be mindful of where I was and being in the moment. I had a spiritual experience with cows, which was really confusing. And
okay, you'll have to tell us about that later.
I'll get to that one. I'll put a pin in that one. But with the moments where it would hit me was when I would see people my age who were either with a group or in a couple.
Yeah.
Those were the moments where I would look at that, and there was kind of like that little twinge of, oh, that would be really nice to be experiencing this with someone right now. I think too, though, the difference is, I mean, I don't have, you know, a partner right now, but I have friends that I know with the right amount of planning, I could have been in a group. So I think it was for me, I know I have those things. They just weren't with me in that moment. And so I think that was how it didn't feel as like, oh my gosh, I'm alone in this city by myself. I physically was that, but I didn't mentally or emotionally feel that because I knew I had connections. I have people that care about me. I have people that love me. Mm-hmm. But what I sat with the most was, I think, the realization of how important it is, I think, at times to make sure you're scheduling in experiences where you are going through that same experience with someone else physically with you. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would – I realized I really liked solo travel. Mm-hmm. I liked the flow of I could decide when I wanted to go back to the hotel. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to ask anybody, like, do you want to do this restaurant? Does this cafe seem good? Yep. Do you want to do this? I just did what I wanted to do. And it was incredibly freeing and the most stress-free I'd been in a really long time.
Yeah.
And I also was like, I don't want to get completely used to this. I think that was the other thing that was in the back of my mind of, I don't want to then be bothered when like my loved ones show up to these experiences with me.
Yeah.
I don't want to get so used to doing things alone or being alone that having someone with me is like, you need a different hotel room because I can't live this way.
I think what's so interesting about just like the concept of loneliness is how my relationship with loneliness has changed a lot. I like associate myself with being someone who's been very lonely, like even though I grew up with a brother and, you know, a great family and stuff like that, I just always felt, maybe not when I was like really young because I had a lot of friends and things like that, but just like the act of moving left me in a place of like always needing to make friends,
right?
Always feeling like the odd person out, always feeling, you know, not invited to something or not known. So I really struggled with loneliness. And it was like – it fueled like kind of my obsession to be cool, which we talked about in the episode we did about being cool or uncool. But I think what's so interesting is, I struggled with that a lot. And then, you know, I really thought that once I got married, I would never feel lonely again. That's kind of how it's sold to you.
Yeah. I think that's a very common trope. I mean, that's why people are constantly questioning me of like, when are you going to find someone? Because there is this assumption that once you find someone, well, you're never physically alone. So that must mean you never feel emotionally alone.
Yeah. And I think like too, it, you know, the like I really thought once I got married, like, you know, I have someone to – and it is very nice. Like I'm not going to lie and not say like it's great that – I know what I'm going to do for holidays with someone. Like I don't have to be alone for a lot of things. I always can have someone to go on vacation with or go to a restaurant with or, you know, things like that I think is really important and helped me. But it doesn't just solve your loneliness, especially I think I learned about this during the pandemic. There are different levels of like essentially relationships and loneliness, right? There's like intimate, which can be a partnership, you know, close family, close friends. Then there's sort of like friendship, you know, a wider circle, everyone that you're kind of friends with, and then community. And you need to kind of have all of those fulfilled. So I think I often like I thought that all of those would be fulfilled when I got married, when really it's like you need to be also – you need to still have, like, friends. And it's different for everyone, right? Like, how many people you need in each circle is different. But it is why I do enjoy going to, like, a workout class or going to a coffee shop or something even when I'm alone because you do feel connected. Like, going to a concert is the best thing because you literally feel connected to everyone. And it's this, like, spiritual experience of – there is a specific thing that I think we all learned during the pandemic of doing something at the same time with people is a very different experience. And it's why, knock on wood, I hope we start to realize that online interactions are not the same as actual community and connection. But yeah, and the other thing I was going to say that I think is really interesting is then I had a child and I never feel lonely now. So if you want to cure your loneliness, just have a kid.
There
just
you go. That's, there it is.
Because you will be so overwhelmed.
You heard it here first. Motherhood is the guarantee of no loneliness ever again.
Until your children leave you, yeah. And then you're screwed and you're back to being lonely again. And potentially worse, because if you don't keep up with the relationships in your life, then you're really screwed. And if you, like, some people don't have the time to invest in their partner, and then they're, you know.
That's what we call a slippery slope.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I really relate to, which is interesting because we're in two different, like, life spheres, that idea of you thinking like, oh, once I have Mike, now that I have Mike full time, he's stuck with me.
Yeah.
We won't have this loneliness. And I think what's interesting is a lot of people assume that because, like, I live by myself. I mean, I live with my sister, but she travels a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm often alone. I think in the reverse, people assume that I am going to be lonely all the time.
Hmm.
And
do people say that to you, or how do you know that?
Well, people will be like, oh, that must be lonely. Or like, do you feel
literally
lonely?
Say it?
Yeah.
Literally say they it. Literally. I thought that maybe people were just like, how do you like living alone?
No. I mean, some people do ask that, like, oh, how is it? However, I think you can pick up underneath.
Yeah.
There are some assumptions that tend to come from people who are married or partnered or have kids of like, wow, that must be lonely. And I'm like, no, it's actually –
I loved living
That's
alone.
Pretty
I mean,
nice.
You know, the controversial thing I'll say is my husband and I sleep in separate bedrooms a lot.
My parents do, and it's the best thing they ever did. And they
great.
Love each other deeply, dearly, and they go to different
we
sides of the
We also both
house.
Work from home, so I, like, see him all day long. I'm just like, I need some alone time. I
can't look at you again. Thank you. I think if we're talking about this from this, like, existential lens.
Yes.
What I think we're stumbling on here is – it's completely individualized what your relationship is to A, the feeling of loneliness, B, the types of relationships you do or don't have in your life, and C, personality.
Yeah.
I know I have a couple friends that would not do well if they were alone all the time. Like, they need people. I also know people that struggle to kind of venture out because they're so comfortable by themselves.
Yeah.
I kind of think I'm in a space in the middle. I think something I was really proud of on this trip was I didn't let the moments of loneliness stop me from doing anything. Like, I didn't think, oh, like, is it going to be weird if I go out to dinner by myself? Or like, what will people think if I'm doing this by myself? I went to this place called Islander. Cannot recommend it enough. You make your own little Harris Tweed bag.
Oh, yeah. I saw your story of that. That looked really cute.
It was so fun. And everybody there was in a group.
Yeah.
I was the only one that was there alone. And there was, I think there's 16 people in the class. So there was, like, a couple groups of, like, three and four. And then there was me. And me and Jill, the person who was leading the class, we became friends. And – but I guess I'm kind of like that. I'm a little more bold. I'm a little more forward. And even if I feel shame or embarrassment, I just plow through that and I make it a joke and I kind of do what I want to do anyway.
Yeah.
And I've tried to be more cognizant, like, even in my professional work with people, that a lot of people don't operate that way.
Yeah.
And that the fear of being by yourself and doing things on your own is a very valid, real fear. And I think if we're feeling that we're in a season where things are feeling more lonely, more quiet, more singular, we can get the perspective that that means that's how our life is going to be for forever.
Yes.
Especially if we're in a season where maybe a relationship has just ended, or you went through a friendship divorce, or you're grieving a family member, or multiple family members have died in a short span of time. You know, I think when we're in those types of seasons, it's really hard to see through that and be like, well, this doesn't have to be an indicator of how the rest of my life will be.
Yeah.
But if you are in a season where you feel lonely, it's really hard to dig out of that. And I do have some of those moments. I actually think it hits me more when I'm just at home.
Yeah.
Like, if I have a whole weekend with no plans, Sometimes that's okay. But there have been some weekends, especially like moving here.
Yeah.
Where I don't know a ton of people. I don't have a ton of options to like reach out and do things, that I'll get to like Sunday and be like, I'm such a loser. Like, I'm 35. Well, no, I'm not 35 yet. I'm 34. And, you know, like, here I am by myself. Man. Like, it's really easy to kind of like beat yourself up and see it as like a fault.
I know. I like feel myself a lot of times. Like, I get like anxious for you. And I'm like, not anything you're doing. I'm just like, I can so imagine what that would be like, that I'm like, I need to make sure I see Sam every weekend that she's here.
I know. I go back and forth with it, because there's other weekends where I'm like, this was incredible. Like,
yeah,
this was what I needed, you know, especially because of the work that we do.
Yeah.
Talking to people and taking on really heavy emotions and stories. It's nice sometimes to just cut out humans for me.
And I think, Sam, like, you have, like, hopefully this doesn't sound weird, but you have, like, a great life in terms of, like, you're really good at taking care of yourself. Yeah. And, like, you cook and you take great care of your space and you have your hobbies. Mm-hmm. Like, I am much more of a disaster.
Well, and I guess
maybe, like, I forget to get dressed, and I like am drinking like a yogurt smoothie, and I'm like, you know, doing 900 different things, and I'm trying to get better. And I also think it is like the season of my life in addition. And right. I'm feeling a little more calm as my daughter is like entering, getting closer to age 3. I feel like I was able to like make my bed today, and I'm in less pain right now. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't – okay. Did you ever – I'm sure you did. Mm. The Wedding Planner?
Yes.
Right, with Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
Okay. The iconic scene where she – and maybe it's supposed to be sad, but I was always very inspired by that scene where she eats dinner in front of the TV alone.
I think that was supposed to be sad.
I thought it was like, look how – I was inspired by it as a kid, because I was like, look how – clean apartment is. Look how organized and like proper, and she's really like creating a vibe for herself, and she like seemed very fulfilled in that moment.
Even, was that maybe like one of the first scenes in a film that showed the possibility of like girl bossing too close to the sun? Like maybe introducing the maybe some of like the cognitive dissonance of like, she seems happy. She seems okay. But there was a little bit of an angle of like, something's missing.
Oh, yeah. And they were like, you know, she can't actually be happy. Right. She obviously needs to be married.
Right. She obviously needs a male figure in her
home. And like, you know, she's destroying her life taking care of like her dad and, like that whole thing. I mean, I don't know enough about cinema before that time to be able to comment, but
maybe that was
I always watched that and I was like, she's so beautiful and organized and her house is so clean, and I would love to be that fulfilled.
There's my future.
Like Sex in the City, I used to be very inspired by how, and maybe it was also like my eating disorder, where like I used to have such a terrible fear of being alone, because like I would like binge and purge so much. It was terrible being alone. I like couldn't live alone, but I also couldn't live with a roommate because I was like
stealing their food.
So, you know, I think, but when I used to watch like Sex in the, like the women in Sex in the City be alone and have these like apartments that were different, and obviously it went like Carrie Bradshaw like way too far, but like there was a particularness of, even I think the scene in like Sex in the City 1 where she's watching the movie on New Year's and she's eating a cup of the noodles. And it's like supposed to, I think, also be sad because she's alone. But I was just like, I guess I was inspired by people being able to be with themselves and be able to be content.
Well, yeah, because that, in that moment when you're seeing that, were you recognizing that that's something that maybe would feel difficult for you?
Yeah.
And you were seeing that it's possible to maybe be okay.
Yeah.
I really related to the film 13 Going on 30.
When you were young.
I wanted to be 30, flirty, and thriving. I really thought that that was going to be
a
vision.
You turned 30, that would be it.
And then I turned 34, and I still wasn't flirty or thriving. So
was she really flirty and thriving, though?
Yeah,
no. Unclear.
Well, to go back to what you brought up.
Your original question that, dear listener.
I know. We're landing the plane, promise.
I think, too, because you just brought up a point where you said, like, well, you take really good care of yourself.
Yes, yes.
And I think when you are not beholden to someone else, when you are not beholden to someone else's schedule, it can be very easy to lose track of your own sense of time.
Yeah.
And so what is very helpful for me is having a rhythm to the day and maintaining that rhythm even through when I don't have clients or I don't have work stuff that needs to get done. So even on Saturdays and Sundays, I wake up, I go to the gym, then I think through the day of like, okay, oh, I haven't like baked in a while. I think I'm going to do that. Or, you know, I have a bunch of paint stuff that I've been playing with and I was like, okay, I think I'm going to do that. And then, oh, I think I'm going to go to this store to get out, like be out of the house. But also a big thing for me when I'm in my house is I still like get ready. I might not do like full glam, but I'll be showered with clean clothes, hair done at a minimum. And what I found was having that routine, you're still living life.
Yeah. So many people stop, and I struggle with that a lot. I am someone who lives for when life gets less crazy, I will take care of myself. And you don't. And I'm very inspired by that, actually.
Thank you. I think having that routine, especially because I moved.
Yeah.
And of course, thank God I knew you. And, you know, Cece was very kind in including me in groups and you've introduced me to people. And so I was very lucky in that I had that. But you don't make like deep connections like right away. And so for me, dealing with kind of loneliness and the existential questions that came up for me about my life of like, okay, I've moved in my early 30s, kind of starting over. I moved to a place with weather that I always said would make me have thoughts that could maybe give me a sticky socks vacation. And, you know, like you, whenever you're settling somewhere new, you're always going to have kind of these larger existential questions of like, why did I do this? What am I doing now? I'm feeling very lonely. You know, I left a lot of friends behind and even some friendships that I thought were going to go the distance haven't panned out and kind of coming to terms with that. And so for me, what has been the most helpful in this season of like some loneliness and existential dread is having these, this sense that I am still living my life.
Yeah.
That
life hasn't stopped.
Yes. That I still have purpose. I still have meaning. I'm still making memories. I'm still doing things. Even if I don't necessarily hang out with somebody, what am I going out and doing that's different? Am I still going to try a restaurant? Am I still going to go out to a cafe? Am I still going to go see something? I'm going to go to the beach by myself. Like, I'm still going to live. And I think when I have that baked in, I really don't feel like these overwhelming waves of loneliness. I still have the existential questions because I've had existential questions since I was four. So that's never going away regardless. But if you're feeling like you're in a season where it either feels chaotic or it feels really lonely or it feels like everything's falling apart and it hasn't started to come together yet, I would really lean into like you still get to live. Your interests still matter. Your goals still matter. What you want from life still matters. And to not think like I have to have someone in my physical proximity to have those things have meaning. Because that's just not fair. Because I am a worthy human by myself. Even if I never find somebody, even if I go the rest of my life alone, as some people would say, I'm still a human. I still have things that matter to me, things that I want to achieve, things that I want to see. And so I still live my life filling that void. Mm-hmm. And to accept that those feelings will happen and they're uncomfortable and they're not fun. But my line is, I never make decisions from that place ever. So the first night that I was in Edinburgh, well, technically the second night, because I got there at like 8 o'clock and I just went to the hotel and went to bed. But the next day I was like out and about all morning, seeing like all the stuff. And there's this place in the middle of the city called Arthur's Seat. And it's basically like this giant hill, mountain climbing thing. And so I had my rain jacket all day and it was like sunny and I felt like an idiot. And so when I went back to get changed to go on the hike, I was like, well, I'm not getting my rain jacket.
Yeah.
No. So I get there and it was kind of cloudy, but it wasn't like rainy cloudy. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, we'll be okay. So I start hiking up and there's a bunch of people around and I start getting to the top and it's a hike. Like it was not fun.
Yeah.
Once you got about halfway up and you were like really working. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm like getting halfway up, I'm noticing the clouds are getting like darker and darker and darker. And I'm like, yes. Because it's about 45 minutes to an hour to get from like the bottom to the top. So you then assume it's going to be 45 minutes to an hour from the top to the bottom. So I got to the top and it starts lightning. And I'm at the highest point in the city. And I was like, am I going to die?
Were other people there?
Oh, yeah. So I was like, I guess we're all just going to like hold hands and collectively die. So I like immediately start like rushing down and it just like pours. Like,
oh my gosh.
The raindrops were probably like the size of quarters. All I have on is like a little cotton like zip up with like my basic like workout leggings on and like a tank top. And everybody else is with their friends like laughing hysterically. Mm-hmm. And I'm like by myself, like trudging through. People are like helping their friends down like the mountain. And I'm like, well, if I die, I guess I can say I died in Scotland. So I'll be a ghost in Scotland and I'll haunt Arthur's Seat for the rest of my forever. Anyway, so I eventually like get to the bottom. It was an absolute disaster. I was like full.
Just covered in mud.
Oh, just like destroyed. I was like absolutely destroyed. My clothes could not, the like on my jacket sleeve, the water was like running like out of the sleeve. So I get down, I call an Uber. The guy was like, are you okay? And I was like, it started raining when I was on the top of Arthur's Seat. So I got back to the hotel and it was just this like incredibly lonely like experience of like, because it was actually really fucking funny. But then I was furious that like I was going through this by myself and I felt like an idiot because I didn't at least have my rain jacket.
Yeah.
And so this whole thing. And so I was in bed having this existential crisis of like, I'm not like, I'm only going to be 34 and in Edinburgh once. Mm-hmm. Like I need to go out and like live my life. And I had to have like this whole like recentering conversation. The point that I'm getting to with that is I had gone through this like really overwhelming day of like being in this place that you've never been before and wanting to make sure you see everything. And then having like that sense of loneliness creeping up after this traumatic event of almost dying on a mountain in Scotland. And you know, then the existential pressure that I have of like, I need to be like living my full life. Like, am I wasting my life because I'm not with people all the time? Mm-hmm. Like that was a thought that I had. Mm-hmm. And I like calmed myself down and I centered myself and I literally took like 10 deep breaths. So instead I sat there and I planned out the whole next day.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you want to do tomorrow? What would make tomorrow feel like a full day? Mm-hmm. Which should also now make sense that it coincides with the fact that I saw the cows the next day and I had a spiritual experience with the cows. And I got emotional because I was by myself with the cows. Mm-hmm. And it felt like they were looking into my soul. And it felt like they felt bad for me. And I was like, don't look at me like that. I know you have a friend. But no, and I ended up having the next 2 days, two and a half days were incredible. And if you are feeling that loneliness, what could you do that would make you feel whole? Mm-hmm. Notice I'm not talking about saying like, what's going to fix it? No. Mm-hmm. What are things that you could do in your life right now that would make you feel happy, that would make you feel a little bit brighter, that would maybe make you laugh, that would feel fun? And maybe that involves people. Maybe something you need to do is like reaching out to the people in your life and saying, hey, let's do FaceTime check-in. Can we get together? Let's plan a trip. Like, you know, maybe it is that. Maybe it is reaching out for the social. But are you lonely because you just feel like you're not taking advantage of your own life? All of that said, I think you can't be focused on fixing the feeling. You have to be focused on what is that feeling telling me about where I'm at right now? And what can I do in response to where I'm at?
Okay, so if you're listening to this episode and feeling like, oh my gosh, I could actually really use a therapist, we've got you. My practice, Therapy for Women Center, has therapists licensed in 43 states across the country. All the therapists are hired by me, trained by me, handpicked by me, and we really back and support our therapists. We vouch for them, unlike some of these big online therapy platforms. Also, if you're local to the Philadelphia area, we have 3 office locations there. So I would love for you to go to our website, therapyforwomencenter.com, and check it out.
I love that, Sam. I'm going to steal that for my own life, please. I think, in terms of like, am I taking advantage of my life right now? Because I think I can speak for a lot of people. It is a very common thing, right? Of living for the next thing, living for the next phase of parenting, job, month, the summer to be over, the summer to start, right? All of those things. And I think it is really hard to break out of that. And I think that there aren't a lot of good solutions I've heard of like what to do besides just like, be present, be mindful, live every day like it's your last. So that statement about like, am I taking advantage of my life is really powerful.
Because it feels powerful. Because that it feels like there's something I can do.
Yeah.
And I think like, you and I are both therapists, so we're always like, you know, be mindful and be present. But a lot of times those feel too abstract.
Yeah.
Trying to focus on those things almost sends you into an existential crisis because you're like, I don't even know how to be mindful.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
And then it feels like you're just going off of this cliff of like anxious doom spiral.
Have you seen that trend going around on Instagram of like, I am an 80-year-old and I woke up for a day in my like 30 or 30, whatever year old body.
That's gonna make me emotional.
What I would do. And it's like a lot of the answers are like really, really beautiful.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I'm trying to live right now in this season that I think a lot of people project on.
And I think there's something really empowering about, you know, when I got sober, I was very like, I'm not going to let not drinking hold me back from doing things I want to do. I'm going to go to a concert by myself, even if I don't have someone to go to.
Yep.
I'm going to, you know, I went to like Kate Kennedy's show by myself in DC, things like that. I do think there's something really empowering that people don't fully tap into sometimes about if there is something in your life that you're like, I can't do this because I don't have someone to do it with. Doing it by yourself is so empowering.
So
it doesn't
mean
it'll be perfect, but I also think we have to remember that even if you're with like your loved one or your partner or your family or whatever, like that's not going to be perfect either.
No.
So you got to trade, right, some loneliness maybe for some annoyance, right? And that's okay.
And also in that same vein, there are times where having other people there might ruin the experience.
That's a good point.
If they aren't as excited about it as you are, if they aren't into it, if they don't like it, if – they, you know, you were kind
of dragging. I went to Taylor's. I flew across the country by myself, like 2 months postpartum to go see Taylor Swift by myself.
Oh.
And I had the most incredible time because, it was also like the first time I'd been away from my child. So it was like so great.
You were going to your
own thing. I stood in the merch line for as long as I wanted. Yep. And I like sat down for the openers and I, you know, could decide when I wanted to go pee. And I was very intense watching the show and I like didn't want to get up at all. And I would have been very annoyed at people like coordinating when they were going to go to the bathroom when I was like, I'm going to soak up every moment of it. I'm not going to blink. When I got sober, I would just go to movies so much. I would watch multiple movies in a row sometimes because I would know that those hours were safe. And I knew that if I watched two movies, I would have like 4 to 5 hours that I could guarantee were sober.
That is so powerful. That was a fully safe zone for you, which when you are getting sober, like it feels like those don't exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's dark and it's cool and you can completely zone out and focus on the show. Wow. I've never thought that could be a space for that, but that is, that's so true.
I mean, now they freaking serve alcohol everywhere, so I don't know. But back then. But yeah, I think like that's what I want to leave people with. Sometimes the things were, you know, avoidance a lot of times makes anxiety worse and facing things that you're holding yourself back from doing can be one of the most empowering things that you do.
Mm-hmm. I 1,000% agree. And I think I know loneliness can feel like physically painful. Mm-hmm. And I have experienced that in my life and I've experienced that recently. And it can feel very dark and it is a feeling that I think very easily becomes all-encompassing. Mm-hmm. That is why there's an acceptance part of it to make peace with maybe you're in a season of your life where that might be a feeling that pops up more often than others. And I think, and this is just how my brain works, the way I had to see it is it's a time of opportunity. And for me, and like even on a professional level, I'm like, how lucky am I right now to have this period of undivided time where I can work late, I can work early, I can work the weekends, I can do whatever I want to do to work on my goals. And, you know, I'm a believer in like a higher power in the sense of the universe. And if you are in a season of loneliness, what can that season teach you about you? Hmm. What can you get out of that season that makes you feel closer to yourself?
Yeah. And I think the very hard truth is even your partnership is rented, right? Yeah. Like you can end a partnership, partnerships end, like families can fall apart, people die, like not to be super morbid, but like that is what happens. And that is, I think, what we're talking about is like also investing in the relationship with yourself. And I know something as I've had to wrestle this year with like my mom potentially dying soon is instead of going from like everything will be horrible and I will never be able to survive without her, my parents, it's like trying to shift from controlling and making sure no matter what, like I'm going to find a way to try to make sure she's okay. And I think that's what a lot of us do is we try to externally control the circumstances, right? Find a partner, make someone be okay, make our kids be okay, whatever, to being like, I have faith and confidence in myself that I don't know what's going to happen, but I will figure it out. Well, thank you all so much for listening. As always, we still are shocked that that we have this podcast and that people listen to us, and we really appreciate it.
And it would be huge to us if you related to this episode, if there's another episode that you really liked, if you could please like share this to your socials and let people know that this is a helpful, meaningful podcast to you. The way we can get the word out is not only just from us, but even more importantly, from you.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.